Thank you for downloading the East Haven Podcast. For more information about our church, please visit easthavenchurch.org. Now, please join Pastor Kevin Reiser as he brings us this week's message.
Thank you, Doug. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope your day has started off festive, and I'm glad that you have decided to continue your day here in the house of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing to be able to meet on Christmas Day, on Sunday, Christmas Day. I want to continue talking about the gift list that we have been given by our Heavenly Father just briefly this morning. We want to wrap up the passage in Lamentations that we started studying earlier in the month. Let me tell you a little story. It was Christmas morning. Everybody was sitting around unwrapping their packages. Families do it different, and sometimes they just dive in and chaos ensues. Other times they're much more methodical. I grew up with a father who was an engineer, and so there wasn't any such thing as just rushing to the tree and opening presents. We sat down, we had our coffee, we made sure everybody had a shower, and then you pass the presents out, and the oldest would go, and then the next oldest, and then the next oldest, or the youngest would go, and then and you went through that cycle until the presents were opened. Well, this particular household was very much like that. It was a household where they methodically opened the presents. And a five-year-old daughter was bursting with excitement at the gift that she had for her daddy. The presents were being opened, and the daddy gets to the present from the five-year-old girl. It's wrapped as a five-year-old might wrap something. Daddy opens it up, and he notices that it's a shoebox, and he opens up the shoebox, and he notices that it's empty, and he goes, "Oh, thank you." And he just kind of sets it aside, and then they go on to the next present, and the next present, and the next present, and the next present. But the little girl's countenance changed, and when all the presents were open, the little girl saw that her daddy was milling about cleaning up, and she walks over to him, and she taps him on the leg, and she goes, "Daddy, didn't you like my present?" And daddy said, well, sweetie, it was just an empty shoebox." And the little five-year-old's heart broke, and her little five-year-old eyes filled with tears. And as they began streaming down her face, daddy sat down to engage his daughter a little more closely, and she crawled up in daddy's lap, and she goes, "Daddy, it wasn't empty. I spent all last week blowing kisses in it until it was full." I tell you that story for this reason. Sometimes we don't see the value of a gift until the gift is explained. We don't see the value of the gift until the gift is explained. You can bet the father never saw that shoebox the same way ever, ever, ever again. Thus is true with the Christmas story. Thus is true with the gifts that have come to us from our Heavenly Father. If you remember the passage in Lamentation, Lamentation is a hard book to read. But in the middle of this hard book, in chapter 3, there's this wonderful declaration of hope that the prophet Jeremiah makes. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 21, Jeremiah says this, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who hope in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." From that beautiful nugget of hope in the middle of this hard, desperate book of Lamentation, we find that our Heavenly Father has willed for us, has wished for us, has lavished upon us, if you will, several wonderful gifts. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the gift of His steadfast love. It never changes, it never goes away, it never decreases, it never lessens. It doesn't matter how much sin you commit, it doesn't matter how far you wander from Him, It doesn't matter how close you try or how hard you try to pursue Him. His love for you is epic and it is exponentially unchangeable. It is steadfast. But we also were reminded that He gives renewed daily mercies. Renewed daily mercies. Every morning you wake up, you and I are granted a do-over. We're granted a second chance at a new day. We're granted a new hope. We're granted a new opportunity. We're granted a new path to make the right changes, to change the course and direction of our life, to seek and pursue and run hard after Him afresh and anew. His mercies are renewed for us daily. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gift of His great faithfulness. He is faithful to us. We may not always see it. We may not always even have the joy of experiencing it firsthand. But we do have the joy of knowing that He is working on our behalf. Romans chapter 8 says that if we love the Lord, then things work out for His good. Doesn't necessarily mean that things are good. It just means that things work out in a way that is good. He's faithful to us. We also discovered 2 weeks ago that He gives sufficient portion. The songwriter once said, "You may not have all you want, but God promises you'll always have enough." That reiterates the passage from the Old Testament that says, "I've been young and I am now old, but in my wanderings in this life I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I seen their seed begging for bread." God makes provision for those who are hungry for Him. Today we want to talk about the final part of that that's found in verse 25. The Lord is good to those who hope in Him, to the ones who seek Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so most importantly, we see in this passage of Lamentation that He gave the gift of hope. And that hope comes through salvation. It's a hope that DJ believed in when he made a choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. It's a hope that Thomas believed in when he made a choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. It's a hope that Owen believed in when he made the choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. There is hope in no other save Christ the Lord. Jesus, during His ministry, made an exclusive claim. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He was born on Christmas for that purpose. He was born in that manger all those years ago so that He could be the way, the truth, and the life. We read a little deeper into the New Testament, we come across a character named Peter. Peter and Jesus were friends during Jesus' earthly ministry. And Peter reiterates the declaration that Jesus made in Acts chapter 4. Peter says these profound words. He said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved." There is a name under which your salvation must come. There is a name under which my salvation must come. And the name is not Kevin. The name is not whatever your name is. The name is the name that is above every name, that is the name Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved by doing good deeds and doing good works. You should do good deeds and you should do good works, but they don't provide you salvation. You cannot be saved by keeping the law. You cannot be saved by being religious. You cannot be saved by being sincere. You cannot be saved by yourself. Jesus' name declares His mission. His name declares His mission. When the angel sought to assure Joseph concerning Mary's pregnancy, he said, "That which is conceived is from the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sin." It is He who saves people from their sin. His name declares His mission. What is His name? Well, in Hebrew, or in Greek actually, the Greek is called Yeshua, which is a Hebrew meaning that says Yahweh is salvation. His name does declare his mission. Yahweh is salvation. When the angel announced to the shepherds, we talk periodically about the shepherds, they were lowlifes in culture. They were unappreciated and unworthy according to society. They were not allowed to practice temple ritual. They were not allowed to worship. They were not allowed to approach the temple courts. They were considered to be unclean. And yet, when this message of salvation came, it came first after the family. It came first to the shepherds. The angels announced to the shepherds, "For there is born to you this day in a city of David a Savior. His name is Christ the Lord." We sing about Him in the songs. We celebrate Him in very real, personal, passionate ways. But do we understand what it means to know that the baby that was born in Bethlehem grew and lived a life that was untouched by sin? He was ridiculed by religious establishment of the day. He died on a terrible cross at the age of 33. And on Easter Sunday, He rose again. You saw the picture displayed in the baptistry waters. When those three young men stepped into those waters, you heard me utter these words: "You are buried with Christ by baptism into death, death to self. And you were raised to walk a new life. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, so too do you now rise from the dead." This watery grave, this picture of the grave. Now you now rise to walk a new life. Sometimes I get asked, why do you ask people those questions? Well, the Bible's very clear. We make our declaration before man so that our Father can make His declaration, so that Jesus can make our declaration in the Father's presence. Is it your intention to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ as long as He gives you breath? And it's important for those that stand in the waters to say, "Yes, that is my declaration." Because Jesus came to give us that kind of hope, that kind of life, that kind of encouragement for our future, for His future. The gift list is long. The gift list is beautiful. But He became our Savior by the virtue He lived in this life. He became our Savior by the totality of His death. He wasn't just sleeping. He was dead. And He became our Savior by the preponderance of His resurrection. There is no other like Him ever to have lived. These are the tenets and the foundations of our faith. And we celebrate that this morning, not only through the picture of baptism, but through participation in the holy table of the Lord's Supper.
Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to speak with someone about how you can apply this week's message to your life, please call the church office at 281-922-5520. You can find more information about East Haven by visiting easthavenchurch.org. Remember, as you go, to live as God's people, telling God's story, building God's kingdom.